Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening in and joining us on the Australian Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Russell Jarrett, physical performance coach, health club owner, fitness educator, and yes, all-round fitness geek. I'm the guy who probably trains on Christmas Day. I would rather lift a barbell than drink a beer, and I'm a student of all things training and physical improvement. So what are we all about here at the Australian Fitness Podcast? Let me set the scene for you. If you've dabbled in training, exercise, weight loss, muscle gain, getting stronger, getting leaner, running further, or have even the slightest interest in fitness and training, I think you'll get a lot out of this podcast. In episode 4 of Australian Fitness Podcast, with my guest Jeff Jowett, we go pretty deep. Jeff Jowett, at the age of 41, has lived more lives than most. A qualified exercise scientist, he soon discovered he had an appetite and a skill for business. So he first created Vision PT, one of Australia's most successful personal training franchises. With a hunger for more, he walked away from that business and created Body Trim, a supplement and weight loss product that became a behemoth in the TV sales space, turning over $35 million a year with a staff of 130. Somewhere during this time of madness and mayhem, Jeff learnt that he had an appetite for more stuff, more status, more everything, or what he calls the disease of more. Jeff has lived fast and large, but today it's the complete opposite. It's all about purpose, giving back, community, and bringing his lessons and learnings to his weight loss community through the Jowett Method. By his own admission, he's done some great things, some crazy things. He's been to the edge, he's battled substance abuse and addiction, and he's been in some very dark places. This is an interview with a guy who should have known better, who should have seen the warning signs, but as a result of going through all of his wins and his losses, guess what, folks? He's figured out we all have the same needs, the same wants and weaknesses, no matter what our bank balance shows. I hope you enjoy this very open and powerful chat with exercise scientist and fitness entrepreneur, Jeff Jowett.
Hello, Russell.
How are you, mate?
Very well, mate. Very well.
Very good. Now, we're going to talk all things fitness, which should be very easy for you because you've got, I think, probably almost a longer history in this game than I have. But let's not go through history just yet. Let's talk present. What is the Jeff Jowett project at the moment? What are you doing?
Well, buddy, I've segued from fitness into weight loss and now into mindset training for weight loss.
Right.
So I created a thing called the Jowett Method, which is a weight loss community with a real focus, probably 90% focus on mindset training, because most people, and I think this has to be the focus, we're in an obesity crisis, 60% of Australians obese. It's not because of the food pyramid. It's not because of Big Pharma, all of which have played a part. But the big issue is that we medicate with food. Mm. Obese people medicate with food. Alcoholics use alcohol. Drug addicts use drugs.
Yep.
And we use external feel goods to medicate an internal pain. So I am having incredible breakthroughs in the weight loss space now with the Jowett Method through mindset training, where people connect twice a day on live broadcast. Everyone's like, oh, you should do a pre-record. That'll be easier. It's not about easier. It's about being of service and value and contribution. And the breakthroughs are extraordinary because as humans, we need connection. And I think we live in disconnected times.
So is this something that you have realized of recent times, or has this always been something that you've believed to be true? Because back in the day of Vision PT,
yes,
did you think that that needed to be an essential part of the change transformation process as well, or have you kind of
great
moved?
Great question. So I think everything I did was age appropriate. I heard someone say that to me the other week, age appropriate. So yep. Vision was age appropriate in my 20s. Let's go back. I was the skinny kid at school.
Yep.
So I bulked up, felt good, changed my body, felt good.
Right.
Went from skinny. I was the skinny weakling that got picked on and teased, not the big fat kid, but the skinny kid who got picked on and teased. I started lifting weights, put on some bulk, felt better about myself. So that was a catalyst for me to become a personal trainer, study sports science, and then help other people do exactly the same thing. That was why I became a trainer, and subsequently we opened Vision Personal Training. But as I later realized, most people who get a trainer want to lose weight, and most of weight loss is not about high performance fitness training. It's about food, walking, and mindset. So that led me to create Body Trim when I was 30.
Right.
And that was food and walking. Not much community, no mindset, just food and walking. Now I'm 41, and they say that your pain is your gift. So I battled alcohol in my late 30s. I became, I guess, alcoholic or definitely addictive traits, binge drinking. I don't drink anymore. But I went to AA briefly to clean out and get sober. And let me give you the red hot tip. That gave me the idea to do the Jowett method, because you put a bunch of alcoholics in a room and you feel better.
Yeah.
You go in shit, you come out good. So I thought, why don't I build a community for weight loss where people connect and can be vulnerable? And it's like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in the Jowett method stays in the Jowett method. Yeah. We don't talk out of school. And it's this beautiful, safe community, and the weight just drops off people. So vision was age appropriate. I thought fitness was the key for weight loss. It's a part of it, but it's mainly food, walking, mindset.
Mm.
Body Trim was an eating plan. And now at 41, having had my own demons, I'm using that personal knowledge and experience to create what I'm doing now, which I think will be the legacy piece, which I think I'm here to do.
So if I read you correctly, what you're saying is that you've had to live a bit of life and experience a bit of life in order to probably understand better where some people are in their mindset when it comes to being overweight, out of shape, unhealthy, unfit, unmotivated. It's really driven by their mind.
And here's the amazing thing about it. No textbook teaches you this. I was suicidal 2 years ago, and I'm happy to talk about that as well. Like, my life imploded. Ego was driving my decisions. I wanted to have the biggest business and the fastest cars and the hottest girlfriend and all the madness. I call it the disease of more.
Yeah.
Disease of more, disease of next. That is a one-way street to nowhere and pain and solitude and emptiness and yuck. But what happened as I came out the other side of that through doing a lot of work on myself, search inside yourself, a lot of, I guess, studies on Buddhism and spirituality, and I went very deep.
Yeah.
And turns out all of that is a huge component in losing weight and keeping it off.
And I don't, no, you're right. No one talks about that, and no one teaches you that. Like, you see still lots of people going through university courses, certificate 3, certificate 4 in fitness, and no one talks about the mental application or the ability to connect with someone and their emotions and their feelings in order to fix their physical issues.
So on that, there was a post on Facebook yesterday, and they were asking the question, and I said trainers need mindset training. I'll put my hand up. Fitness
Agreed.
Australia, AIF, FIA,
Agreed.
Whatever,
yep.
They need this level of understanding and knowledge. They don't have it, because I go and speak at gyms. My mates own a bunch of gyms, and I talk about this stuff, and there's never a dry eye in the house.
Mm.
Everyone's fully engaged. They just aren't armed with the tools and the skills, because you give me an obese person and I'll show you a food addict who medicates with food late at night in private. But here's the kicker. They will never own up to that.
No.
To some buff, young, cocky kid who's prancing around in the extra small shirt, looking at himself in the mirror or herself, as I did, by the way, as I did. No judgment. I was that guy as well in my 20s. But when you lead with vulnerability and you're open and you go, hey, you know what? I got my own battles and here's mine. That overweight person who's none of us are any different. I'm medicated with alcohol. An obese person uses food. It's that simple.
Yep.
And if we can get to the root cause, okay, why are we medicating with food? And everyone's got a reason. There's often a lot of trauma and abuse in the past, and food was comfort. Food was the thing that made them feel safe.
Yep.
Food made them, you get the dopamine hit, you feel better. So whatever that drug is for people, it's an external feel good. So I've just created an ability to cut through the BS, get to the root cause of people's pain,
yep.
And then we're not band-aiding it, because it's a band-aid at best. If you're just training your guts out and doing a 12-week program, and you know what happens after that, you put weight back on because you have not addressed the root cause. A lot of people have had abuse and trauma in their past. We've got to let go of the abuse and the trauma. We've got to find forgiveness for those that have hurt us.
Mm.
Forgiveness for ourselves. Very hard to do. That's why I do forgiveness letters, teaching people to write forgiveness letters, forgive others, forgive yourself. And when you do that, you let go of the past, let go of the baggage, and you start to live in the present moment, and you can move forward, and you lose a ton of weight.
I'm not a big fan of 8 week, 12 week programs, and they're a massive part of the fitness scene in Australia at the moment, probably around other parts of the world as well. But everyone seems to be, every gym, every studio seems to be going 8, 12 week. Having said that, I've just come off the back of one that I instilled in my own club, but with an addition. So what I did was I asked people to actually apply for the program. And in order to prove a point to my members, I made it a free program. So you had to actually apply and be chosen to do this, but it didn't cost you anything.
Right.
So the motivation wasn't money. The motivation was if a person sat down and wrote an application and sent me some photos and said, I need to be a part of this program for these reasons, if I thought they were compelling enough, then we selected them.
Great.
Now, we've just finished it. In fact, we finished it last night. And you're exactly right, because the transformation on these people, and many of them were very overweight. Yes, there's been physical changes, but what I've noticed above and beyond everything else is the change in their demeanor, in their attitude to life, their attitude to themselves, their ability to tackle a task, their self-belief. They have transformed mentally more so than physically.
Yeah. And that's the key. You've got to go deep to go high, and that's what people are not doing. That, you know, the 6, 12-week programs, you know, I did them for a long period of time as a young bloke, and it's surface layer.
Yeah.
And you've got to get into the deep stuff, and that is where we have the real breakthroughs. And that's what I'm doing now with TJM, the Jowett Method, and that's what needs to happen. It's got to be sustainable long term, and we've got to be doing some stuff on mindset. And where's the pain coming from? So at 10 o'clock at night when you're medicating with a packet of Tim Tams or a bucket of ice cream, why?
Why? Yeah.
You know, where's the fear? Where's the loneliness? What's lacking? You know, where's the toxic relationship?
Yeah.
Because everybody has the same stuff. And the magical thing, and the universe fascinates me, when you cut the bullshit out and you live true and congruent to your highest self, people come out of the woodwork to help. Opportunities present themselves, and because I lead with brutal honesty and truth about my life and blunders and whatnot, so does everyone else to me.
Yep.
So I get to see what really happens in people's lives. And our dear friend Craig Harper, in a very similar place with this stuff, he mentors a ton of high-flying people, and he's a bit of a mentor to me, to be honest, Harps. And we talk about this often. Most people making big money are empty because they haven't got the depth. They've stopped chasing purpose. They started chasing the buck. Nothing wrong with making a buck. We need it.
Yep.
We definitely do. Don't get me wrong, and don't demonize money. But we've all got the same issues deep down, and unless we're being true to ourselves and really addressing what's going on under the surface, fast forward 10 years, you're empty.
Craig and I had I worked for Craig for many years, and you and I have had conversations about how he does his work, but I still remember a conversation, and we've got similar backgrounds, so I've got an exercise science degree too.
Yes.
And I came out of university all pumped up with theory and textbook and sets and reps and repetitions and rest periods and loading and blah, blah, blah. Started working at his studio in Brighton and seemed to be struggling to be getting good results with people. And he pulled me into his office one day and he said, mate, here's a word of advice. He goes, drop all the science bullshit. And get to understand the person. Because if you don't do that, if you don't cut through all that other stuff, you will never help people to succeed long term.
Yeah.
You'll get a few little results here and there. But until you actually start to understand people and dig a little deeper, which didn't come naturally to me, you're not going to get great results.
It's really interesting and it's so counterintuitive. We all have ego, and you need a little bit of ego at times, but We all chase status as young men and women. We all want to prove ourselves and be someone in the world.
The big dog. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's really funny because just chatting to you before we went live, I couldn't think of anything worse than that now, because I was the main offender. I wanted the cars and the boats and the life and the fame and it's fool's gold.
Yeah.
You know, it's fool's gold. You need a deeper purpose in your life. And the people around you at that point are no good. They're there for the wrong reasons. They're there to ladder climb off you, to get on the next rung off you. And it's just not a great way to live. And it's very, very empty and soul destroying. And Harps and I talk about this quite a bit. And some of the people that I mentor are killing it commercially, got everything they ever dreamed of, and are empty.
Yeah.
And I look at my little life. It's funny. Someone said to me years ago, mate, you just have a little life. You'll be fine. And I got offended by that.
Mm.
Big property developer in Melbourne. He goes, you'll be right, mate. Just have a little life. Scale back. You'll be fine. I was offended. My ego was just rampant.
Mm.
And I still wanted to be the man. No one's the man. No one's the woman. Mate, we're tribal. We're a bunch of people on one planet all doing our best, and the connection piece is just completely gone. Everyone's trying to outdo each other. The sense of self is the big issue. Everyone's so identified with self.
Do you feel, and this is probably not one of the questions I was going to pose to you, but I'm going to ask it.
Please.
Do you feel that social media and everything that it now does in terms of almost allowing people to present a false persona if they choose to, do you think that puts an unrealistic expectation onto people?
Mate, I think it's horrendous, Russell. I think it's horrendous. And here's why. So social media for my group, for example, twice a day I get to coach on video live anywhere in the world. So it's great for that.
It connects
people when you use its powers for good.
Yeah.
But as we say, comparison is the thief of joy. So most people are on Instagram, Facebook, looking at everyone in Mykonos, Ibiza, Santorini, getting depressed because old mates over there, shirts off, getting a photo. Like I say, run your own race at your own pace. And, mate, at 40, I went bust at 40. So if I was comparing myself to everyone else right now, I'd be off the balcony in 1 minute. Yeah, bang. But yeah. I don't compare anymore. I'm Jeff Jowett, doing his best, running his race at his own pace, helping a few people along the way. And that's a great life. But we disease of more. We think, when I get to the top, I'll be happy. There's no top, ladies and gentlemen. Life is a summitless mountain. You got to get used to the side of the hill. Look, you know, the mountain goats, they stand on the side of the hill. We've got to be one of them. They're happy on the side of the hill. Life is on the side of the hill. Take a little bit each day. I was only happy when I got the Maserati, when I got the penthouse, when I got for 5 minutes until someone had the better one of this and the better. It's madness.
Yeah.
It's empty. And it's a road to nowhere versus now, present moment, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, all that, the books that, you know, these great leaders talk about, we need to be reading and embracing day to day.
Do you, when you look back at those times, and obviously they were, you know, times of incredible commercial success, did you have someone by your side guiding you, advising you and controlling you, or were you just, there was no one there? If you look back at it, was there someone there that could have given you a guiding hand, or was there just no one at the time?
Look, not really. It was me and another chap who was my partner, and we were kind of both hurtling down the wrong path, I believe. And we were, you know, bigger was better, more. And I think, you know, we were both aligned going in the wrong direction for a period of time. But I even look at now, you know, the fabric and framework around goal setting. And, you know, we're taught through school and university and set goals and obsess about your goals.
Yeah.
And I have unpacked that and completely changed that. And here's why. Because if we're focusing on our goals the whole time, we're never present and we're not in the process. Now, a lot of the elite sportsmen say trust the process.
Mm.
So that's my main catchphrase, trust the process, live in the process, focus on the process. And I say 90-10. 90% of your time, ladies and gentlemen, should be process focused. 10% of your time, outcome. So you want to lose 50 kilo? Right, great. I want to lose 50 kilo. I want to lose it off my hip, my bum, my legs, my thighs, my arms. You know, get specific with your goals. What, where, why, when? When do you want to do it by? Why is it important? All the basic stuff that we know in goal setting. What, where, why, when? Great. That should occupy 10% of your time. Just like in business, where are you going? How are we getting there? That's 10% of your time. 90% of your time, heads down.
Yep.
Heads down process. So you want to lose 100 kilo, don't focus on the scales. Throw them away.
Yep.
Focus on the next meal, snack. You do that over a week, you'll lose 5 kilo if you've got 100 to lose. You do it over a year, you'll lose 50. Like, it's pretty powerful.
It is, but it's also simple, isn't it?
Very.
And that's where a lot of people go wrong, especially ones – you would have seen this when you had Vision PT, and you've probably seen it in people you've come across in life. But people that have a lot of weight to lose or have some kind of physical goal that they're trying to achieve talk about, oh, macros this, and do I take this protein powder or do I need that pre-workout? I'm like, you don't really need any of that. You just summed it up right there. Just simplify it and focus on the next meal, next snack, next workout.
And the thing is, when you take the goal obsession away, you remove emotional attachment.
Yep.
So what happens with overweight people especially, they get 5 kilos from goal, 2 kilos from goal, and they start telling themselves stories.
Yep.
Stories about how they've never been that slim, they've never hit that goal, they can't keep it off. I even had a lady say the other week, what if I can't stop losing weight? Wayne, yeah, because they're losing, so she's lost 60 kilo.
That's amazing.
So her mind has then
switched the other way.
Maybe I can't stop losing weight. But that's what Wayne Dyer, who's passed away, he used to call it mind viruses. Right. We've all got mind viruses. So we'll start telling ourselves stories, old tapes. You see, if you come back to the present moment, I say present process prevents self-sabotage limiting beliefs. So be present.
Yep.
In the process will prevent self-sabotage, overwhelm and limiting beliefs. The only reason we have overwhelm is we're up in our head in the future, like analysing the possible scenarios that may or may not unfold versus coming back to now.
Analysing the shit out of stuff that hasn't happened.
Correct. Or
And may never.
Causes anxiety. Mm. In the past, it causes depression versus in the now. And here's the thing, it manifests in different areas. So I've took up horse riding the better part of a year ago, and I've been riding a few days a week. And classic. So I don't do this with bodybuilding or food or even business anymore, but because horse riding's a new thing, I can lay in bed at 3 a.m. analysing my technique coming up to a jump on a horse, and like I don't do it with food or bodybuilding or business or these things, but then all of a sudden the same traits pop up over there.
Yeah.
And you got to, hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Pull up. Come back, put the stick down. I say put the stick down. It's like because when you take the dogs to the park and it's time to come home and you say you get rid of the stick and you watch your dog. If anyone's got dogs out there, I'm sure you do. Once they've stopped playing with the stick, they will think about – if you take the stick off them, they'll think about the stick for 3 seconds.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, whatever, cool, let's go.
Move on.
Move on. Mm. Humans, we'd be thinking – that was my stick. That was my stick. I found the stick over at the tree. I had to fight for that stick. That other bloody dog wanted the stick. I got the stick. It's got my smell on it. Now old mate's taken it off me. This is bullshit. Now I'm going home and it's not my stick. And then we'd be waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning in the horrors because we don't have our stick. So I say, put the stick down. And I coach that to my, put the stick down. Just put it down.
Yeah.
Come back to now. I have these little anchoring sayings to get me back to now to put the stick down. And it manifests in all areas. If you've been overweight your whole life and you start dropping weight, you're obsessed about that.
Yep.
You know, whatever it is, we're all the same. We are so similar humans. But I think my main passion is to expose that.
Yep.
The bloke worth $100 million is no different to the bloke struggling. It's the deep drivers. And I think the fabric of us, we're so similar. We make different choices along the way, but we've still got the same doubts and fears. And normally the person who makes the most coins got the most fear because they do it out of a fear of failure.
Yeah, you hear that often, don't you, from people, sports people. I've heard all sports people and they go, what's your biggest fear? And they go, fear of failure.
Yeah.
I can't fail. I cannot even contemplate.
Mm.
And that's what drives them. Which is kind of weird in a way because failure, it tends to be more of a negative connotation, but it still works. Look, if you channel it the right way, I guess.
I think there's a few ways to skin it. I think you can have huge commercial success through a fear of failure.
Yep.
But I don't think you'll find joy in the world. And
yep.
For me now, the currency is happiness and joy. Now, that might seem fluffy and But I've hit rock bottom. I had a shit ton of money. Wasn't any happier with that. I was unhappier because I was doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
I somehow went down the wrong path there, picked up the bottle, made some bad choices, and I stopped doing it out of a place of service contribution. And really, I got to be honest, I think status took over.
Yep.
Status and significance became my drivers. And that is a soul-destroying pathway. And so many people walk it. I'm very grateful that I did it rock bottom. crawl into AA and begin the journey. But you don't fix yourself as well, folks, in a month. Mm. It's taken me nearly 2 years to be where I am now emotionally, physically, spiritually. And I'm the best version of me that I've ever been. Like, I'm not a selfish prick anymore. I was a very selfish guy. I thought the world revolved around me.
Mm. So you've taken, obviously, the lessons that you've learnt and moulded all the good stuff that Jeff Jowett has and has used to develop businesses, and now you've maybe just tempered it with some other attributes, some other ways of looking at the world.
Yeah, look, well said. So my trade, if you will, is weight loss, sports science graduate,
yep,
personal trainer, all that jazz. But then, of course, really, if we look at my experience in weight loss, we've got over 900,000 Aussies bought the Body Trim DVD. So a couple of million Aussies watched the Body Trim DVDs.
Wow.
So my body of work or evidence is huge, yep, in the weight loss space. And then I have partnered that with my own pain. So what I did, i.e. addiction and pain and medicating with external feel goods, and I've taken all of that.
Yep.
And that's why I called it the Jowett method. Someone said, oh, that's a bit self-indulgent calling it that. But
it's got your DNA.
That's right. And that's the big thing.
It's got your personal DNA.
Yeah. And that's why I did it, Russell, to be honest, because it's my journey, my path, and all of my learnings at nearly 42 years of age, rock bottom, alcoholic, rehab in the States, the whole nine yards, mate. Mm. You name it, I did it. You name an addiction, I had it.
Well, you'd be silly. In fact, you'd be not genuine if you didn't call it the Jowett method.
I think so. Yeah.
So I think you're right there. Does it frustrate you when you see? Because frustrates me. I want your opinion on it though. The medical profession, the dietetic profession, they're barking up the wrong tree constantly about weight loss. They're not addressing the root cause.
Look,
I have people come into my health club. Mm. You know, 30, 40, 50 kilos overweight, and I can have a 5-minute conversation with them. Mm. And if I ask the right questions, which I've learnt over time, they will tell me what the root cause is. Mm. And it's not anything other than they're miserable and unhappy. Mm. And as you say, they're medicating with food. They've got blood pressure problems, they've got cholesterol problems, they've got whatever other medical issue. Mm. The doctor, they've just come from the doctor's surgery who said, oh, well, I can give you medication for A, B, and C. You might want to lose a few kilos as an afterthought. And I'm like, no, lose 40 kilos, won't need medication, and you'll get your life back.
Look, it's all, mate, it's all tits up, the whole thing, to be honest. And no one's addressing the deep issues around mindset like you just covered. And personal trainers, it's not their fault. They just haven't been taught it.
No.
We need to start that process, I believe, because they are essentially, they're a coach, they're a life coach, and they need a bit of the mindset training. But what I find is that you've got to address the elephant in the room. So I say address the elephant in the room before it tramples you. Mm. Most people who are grossly overweight, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 kilo overweight, there's an elephant in the room. Mm. They're in an unhappy marriage for 10 years. They're in a job they hate. Mm. They've got a toxic relationship of some sort. There's a pain point there being medicated. So until we address that, and yeah, it's scary, but on the other side of that, is massive breakthrough and change and transformation. So people have got to step into it, not step away from it. But we're in a society where, and let's not forget, we've been brainwashed by our parents and their parents. When you're sad and scared, it's okay, I made cookies. Mm. It's okay, I made muffins. We've been taught to medicate with food since we were two, and so have our parents and their parents before them. So the big issue is, I say food for fuel, not comfort. Food is not the comfort source. You've got to learn to breathe and meditate. Breathe through the problem, not eat through the problem, not drink through the problem. You can't use these externals all the time. It's an inside job, but you got to learn to sit with a bit of pain. I say pain of growth, not pain of regret.
If you had your time over again, with all of the success that Vision has had and is continuing to have, and with Body Trim and the massive platform that you grew with that, if you could combine Body Trim, the Jowett method, and a bit of other stuff, would you do that, or do you think that each thing kind of sits on its own level?
To be honest, I think that's what I'm in the process of doing.
Right.
Because the food aspects of Body Trim are very similar in the Jowett method. I just don't recommend a free day once a week. I used to talk about a free day once a week until I became an alcoholic.
The cheat day?
Yeah. Mm. So you don't give an alcoholic – here's the kicker for the listeners. You don't give an alcoholic a drink once a week. You don't go, oh, you've done good for six, here's a whiskey.
Have a beer.
You're beauty, right? And it's so obvious. Here's a really – this is probably the most powerful point in the chat about weight loss today. It's so obvious. Yeah, you don't give a heroin addict a shot of heroin once a week. You don't give an – so why would you give a food addict
– more food.
A cheat meal once a week. Now, for anybody who's never had an addiction issue, you miss that fact. Bill Phillips did Body for Life. Great program, right? Free day. That's where I got the idea from Bill Phillips.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that's where I nicked it from. I was Bill's Australian spokesperson.
Really?
Yes, mate. I was the –
That's insane.
Yes, mate. I was the
– I watched his documentary.
Yeah, Body of Work.
Body of Work. Yes. I reckon in the late 90s blew my mind.
Yes, all our minds.
I still follow a lot of his principles.
Yes.
Because they're true.
He's very good, Bill Phillips. No, so Body of Work, late 90s, folks. It was a great thing. He took 12 people and it was called his Physique Transformation Challenge in the late 90s. Later became Body for Life.
And first prize was like $50,000 US, wasn't it? Or something? Well, a million
first,
or something?
First thing was his Lamborghini Diablo. That then, typical American fashion, God love him, and has a bit of a wank factor in it, but it was funny and good on him. That was a great message. He gave away his red Lamborghini Diablo, but then, and this was the gold, either his idea or the scriptwriter's idea, he goes, I can't just award one prize. I can't award one. So he went and traded in his Diablo for 12 Corvettes and everyone got a Corvette because there couldn't be one winner. Everyone's a winner. And, you know, and it was great. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. And so I got right behind EAS with Andrew Simmons, my partner at Vision PT. We sold heaps of supplements and we were the EAS training facility of the year in 2001. I hosted their awards night at Fox Studios. They gave away a bloomin' Peugeot. I had a spray-on blue shirt. It was dead set extra, extra small. It was some of my best. Back in 01 at Fox Studios, I believe, Fox Sports or wherever it was. But look, all that stuff. But Bill had the free day. But again, for obese people, a free day is no good in the first 90 days. You see, the first 90 days, the stricter you are, the better you get because you reprogram your relationship with food. Again, if you haven't had addiction issues, you're not going to understand this, nor did I at Vision or Body Trim. Fast forward a few years, a whole heap of stress and a few bad choices and kicking around with the wrong people, I'm a binge drinking alcoholic, drinking every day, taking Xanax to sleep every night and drinking every day. So my choices, and no one's fault, by the way. You know whose fault this was? Mine. We cannot play the blame game. We cannot be the victim. We've got to get above the line, as they say in NLP, and own it. I own every blunder in my life. I don't sit here today with I don't have any resentments to anyone. Mm. It made me who I am now. Mm. Anyone could walk in the door now, and this is a big thing for me. I said this at a speaking gig the other week. I'd be happy to see everyone. I've made amends. I've made the blunders. I go, you know what? I fucked that up, mate. I'm really sorry. And, you know, blah, 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 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's a great place. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I don't judge a man or a woman by their status or wealth. I don't judge anyone, but I used to.
Mm.
I look at my dad's life. He was a school teacher, principal. Mm. What a great life. Mm. What a great man, my dad.
Mm.
But when I was young in my early 30s, I thought, oh, dad was a school teacher. What does he know? Mm. What does he know? He knows more than most of the high-flying knobs that I used to kick around with who were having cocaine every night for dinner and just rubbish, fake, false world.
Mm.
My old man built a great life, a beautiful life. Married to my mum for 30 years. Mum passed away. He remarried. He's been married for 15 again. He's just solid. That's what I judge as a good life.
Who are your biggest influences going on down that, you know, in talking about your dad? Because obviously he's had impact.
Dad's been big.
Yeah.
Who else? Look, I take snippets from a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
I now call my current path the Craig Harper model.
Yeah, right.
And Harps is a dear friend. He's like a big brother to me, Harps. And I jokingly call it the Craig Harper model. And Craig's had a big impact because I was always in a hurry. And Harps is like, mate, you just got to slow down a bit. And I really have. And I've got back to purpose. I wake up each day and if I'm a bit flat, it's great because at 7 a.m. I coach people. I've got purpose from early on in the day. All day, every day, I've got purpose. And if you're feeling flat, get more purpose.
Yep.
Don't chase money, chase purpose. Harper's a big one. I'll say Mark Burris on the other side of it. Mark, I love his discipline. I see Mark at the gym most mornings. He's been good for my mental toughness, I think, getting back in the game. Mark's
I love his directness, his honesty, his no bullshit approach. But he's soft too. You can see that he cares. But he's not going to suffer fools and he's not going to let you make excuses. He's just like, no, that's not how it rolls, mate. It's got to be done this way.
Yeah. Burris is great on routine and rituals and he's in the gym very early each morning. And but he's great. I love his honesty and his vulnerability and he's a great man. Who else? Gee, there's a lot of them. My dad's right up there. Too many to think of off the top of my head. But I'll throw Harper in the mix because I love the way Craig's built his life. You see, I'm not in a race anymore.
Yeah.
If my thing's this, Russ, if I can build a tribe, have 500, 1,000 members in years to come, not by the end of the year, not by next year, you know, and there's some people out there doing great things. Here's a good example. You know, we mentioned Sam Wood before. Killing it.
Mm.
Hats off to Sam Wood. Don't know him, never met him. Mm. Great work. Mm. We need to celebrate other people's success. Not compete with Kayla Ritsinas or Sam Wood or whoever. Good on them. Mm. Bravo. Applaud. Be happy. It's not a competition. And I tell you what, and if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, yeah, but you haven't got it.
No.
While ever it's a competition, you'll never be happy. And happiness is what we're all trying to achieve. There's a great book on the table here, I think. Is it? Yeah. Learned Optimism. Martin Seligman, who's the foremost authority on happiness these days, and Learned Optimism. Check it out if you're in for a bit of a deep read. But happiness is the currency. Like, you know, we want to make enough to pay the bills, but really we want to be able to help people, be of service, and stay aligned with our true north. And I won't touch anything now if it's not completely congruent with my highest calling. There's no way.
Is that then, is it fair to say that the Jowett method and the project that, and the tribe that you're building at the moment is giving you more pleasure than your other
100%
businesses?
100%, but I can't even tell you.
It drives you, doesn't it?
Oh, it brings me joy.
Yeah.
So, here's the beautiful lesson for everyone. The world is your mirror. You will attract what you are, never what you want. So if you're a 4 out of 10, if you rank yourself now with your integrity, your values, your alignment, the people you surround yourself with, if you're a 4, you're going to attract 4s. If you're an 8, you get 8s. A 9 gets 9. Mm. A 4 does not get an 8.
Mm.
So the better you get, the better you attract. The more aligned you are, that's what you attract. The people that join and stay in the Jowett method are beautiful human beings. So we have got this amazing tribe around Australia, Thailand, America. An American bloke just joined, which is, but it's all organic, but they are beautiful people. And I had a phone call yesterday, just quickly, Michelle. She's like, oh, I'm just booking your flights to come up. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, oh, you said you'd come up and hang out because I love horses and she bought a horse.
Yeah.
And because she had a horse and it died tragically, but through my love of horses, beautiful story, she's bought herself a horse again. It's a beautiful story. She's like, oh, Jeff, I can't thank you enough. So I said, I'm coming up to see your horse and hang out with you. Anyway, I wasn't expecting her to fly me up there. She goes, are you serious? Of course I'm flying you up and you're my guest and, you know, I'm going to treat you like, but it's beautiful. So every part of what I do now, it's just so real.
Mm.
And look, Body Trim was great. It helped a lot of people. But really, it was a TV product that didn't have a lot of soul behind it.
Mm.
The business was a bit like The Wolf of Wall Street, to be really honest with you, behind closed doors.
Mm.
No one else's fault. I take responsibility. But now, mate, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, you could hook me up to CCTV and, mate, it's as real and raw as it gets 24/7.
Yeah.
But my idea of a good night, I'm in bed by 9:30. I'm on the couch with the dogs. It's a simple, beautiful life for us.
We talked about your training. Is that part of what you find now keeps you grounded, like just having that daily ritual and looking after your body and putting some time into your own state of health and wellness? Is that important?
I assume
it's very important for you.
For me, I think I've got sensitive brain chemistry.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed ADHD, but no surprise for anybody who knows me, that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't take meds. I tried for a couple of weeks, hated it.
Yeah.
But I manage my mental state. Tony Robbins talks about state management. So I manage that with meditation and gym. Gym 6 days a week, or gym 5 days a week, horses 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And it gets me present, and I'll potter off down there to the gym after we do this, and I'll have a chat. But I don't bust a gut anymore. You see, in the past, if I could not sit still during the week, if I wasn't working, I'd feel like I was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Why? It's not a race. I'm not trying to beat you. I'm not trying to beat Warren Buffett. I'm not trying to be Warren Buffett. I'm just trying to carve out my little piece in the world that does good, not harm.
Yep.
So that gets rid of all the noise. Some days I'm really productive and some days I'm not, and that's okay. If you stop the race, the sprint, you start to see the magic. Like, I never used to walk down the street with the sun on my back and go, how good's life?
Mm-hmm.
I never did that.
You didn't take time to smell the roses.
Mate, unless I had a bag of Coke and, you know, that all of that rubbish back in the day, I wasn't even that excited. I needed the dopamine hitting the rush and the more.
Mm.
Mate, it was just a fast-paced life, and it was it nearly ended me, mate. I wanted to neck myself every day towards the end of that.
Mm. How did you pull yourself out of that? Like, did someone grab you by the scruff of the neck, or did you just kind of come out of it yourself? Because that's a pretty dangerous space to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it was super dark. Mate, I had a few mates who had addiction issues themselves, and they said, look, why don't you come down to NA?
Mm.
And, mate, I think you probably need to.
Mm.
You got the drink issue. They had issues with other drugs. But, mate, so I started there. That was probably the best thing. I was engaged to a beautiful young woman. We're still great friends, which is awesome.
Mm.
But, mate, I muddled that up with my own selfishness and mistakes were made there. I'm just blessed that we've got a great friendship out of that.
Yeah.
But I lost a lot, mate, the relationship, the businesses, the money. I went fully bankrupt and just had to fully start again. But I can sit here on a podcast and I don't even – the magic, mate, is I don't have any – I don't even flinch. Like, when I don't judge myself. I don't know if that makes sense, but
in
the past, I wouldn't want to. Oh, I lost all my money. Or,
well, you've come to terms with it. You've reconciled it, haven't you?
Absolutely. And it doesn't. What defines me are my actions and how I live.
Mm.
And I'm incredibly proud of the bloke I am today. If I'm out of line, I put my hand up every day.
Yep.
Mate, I just wasn't that guy. My ego took over and more and more and more. And I was never, I don't think, aggressive or rude to lots of people, but it wasn't coming from the right place.
Yep.
And I was using people to further my own career.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, versus now, I just want to be of service to my tribe. And we're doing this little thing in November, a retreat. It's called, we're going to go glamping at Glenworth Valley and horse riding. It's going to be made 20, 30 people. And I just want to connect people.
Yeah.
And if I can pay the bills and one day have a little hobby farm and a few horses helping people, what a life.
Mm.
It's beautiful. I don't need to be the next Michelle Bridges or the next Sam Wood or none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do my little bit. They do their bit. Everyone helps and serves. It's the old help and serve.
Mm.
And look, it's so simple that we miss it. And the problem for young people especially, mate, it's too slow. They want it all yesterday. Nothing good happens fast.
No, that seems to be almost the disease of the now, isn't it? It's the inability to be patient. Patience is not a virtue that many people possess, I find.
Mate, I remember the first girlfriend I had back in...
It's a lost skill.
It's a lost skill. First girlfriend I had, Luca, she was she was in musical theatre, and I remember she went away. And what year was this? 97. No internet, mate. We were writing letters to each other.
Yeah. Snail mail.
Snail mail. She was in Dubai in a pantomime for Disney cartoon characters, whatever she was doing over there,
yeah.
And we'd write each other's letters, and letters had come each day, and we'd be sort of, and we'd talk once a week on the phone, and those, you know, so everything was a lot slower. You'd walk up to the mailbox, and these days, bing, 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 Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Snapchat, like it's boom, boom, boom. Our brains have not changed, but everything else has, and that is why we are struggling, and that's why I coach the half hour before bed, no phone. Half hour when you wake up, no phone, no technology. Let your brain calibrate, wind up, wind down.
I've got a very strong suspicion, and I reckon you'll agree in that years to come, drugs and alcohol won't be the things that we're trying to help people to remove and stop. It'll be technology. Technology for some people will become an addiction. Well, it is for some people already, and it will become a source of incredible pain and massive issues.
I can
see it. I've got three boys.
Yeah.
And one in particular has a personality which I feel has got some addictive traits.
Yep.
And if he doesn't have his phone literally in his hand and he's 12 years of age, you can see him getting a bit twitchy.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a worry.
Yeah.
It's a massive worry.
Look, the whole way that society operates, like we think we've got to get back to the email in 5 minutes and the text, just let it be for the minute. We've just got to slow down. We've got to slow down our operating rhythm. Mm. We're in such a hurry. And I keep saying the word purpose, but without that, like we can get in this rat race, more, accumulate, investment properties, all of which are good in the right way. You got to make money and you got to build assets. I get it.
Yeah.
But you got to enjoy the bloody journey, like the side of the hill. And that's what Harps and I bang on about. Like I don't need a shit ton of coin to be happy. Body Trim was turning over 35 mil, 120 staff. And, mate, I was stressed out of my head on deadlines, under the pump, you know, just then I would find, and my craziness, you know, I'd then compare myself to a business that was making 50 million and I thought mine was shit.
Yeah.
Right, mate.
You lost perspective.
Come on. Now, I am hypervigilant. So I've got I've got awareness on my side now.
Yeah.
So when the Jout method really takes off, there'll be no Black Range Rover, all the features, Rolex watch. I shouldn't laugh, but that ain't me anymore.
No.
Mate, I'll buy an old Toyota Land Cruiser that'll pull a horse float.
Yeah.
Couldn't give a rat's ass. Mate, Harps gets around in flannelette shirts and khaki pants. I don't need the trimmings anymore.
Mm.
I'm not that guy anymore. And I've got to be honest, that world scares me.
Mm.
That world scares me. I don't need a $200,000 car. I just do not. My watch... Pretty sure my iPhone tells me the time.
Yeah.
Don't need the 20 grand Rolex. But I was the biggest wanker. If there was an Olympics for wankers, I got the triple. I was Michael Phelps, mate. I was Phelps. I cleaned up. So anybody, I'm not talking at you. I was that guy. And I just want to tell everybody listening to that, happiness doesn't live there.
Mm.
Happiness does not live there because you're always comparing. I just do my thing now and I gravitate towards people who do their thing and we help each other and we make a living and a little living grows, you know. But as Harp says, be the tortoise. Like I like to be the tortoise now, not the hare.
Mm.
So I've got, you know, but I've lived it, Russ. I lived it fast and I got caught up in the celebrity world and all that stuff, and you're on TV. Because you think when you're on TV, life's going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. How cool is this?
Changes nothing.
Mm.
Changes nothing. Then you just got all the politics of TV land.
Well, that's right. And then you get more people judging you rightly or wrongly because of what they perceive you to be, rightly or wrongly.
But
so that brings a whole new level of stress and pressure.
Mate, absolutely. And I remember then all of a sudden I was the steak knives guy because I was selling on TV and most people didn't even know that was my product and that I was a sports scientist and Australian PT of the year and bodybuilder and they just thought I was a TV salesman.
Yeah.
So be careful what you wish for because you just might get it, as Beyonce said, right? So I thought, get on TV and have the cars and the apartments and then life's – no. Life's awesome now. So I say happiness is now. And people are going to go, but no, there's always going to be dramas.
Mm.
If you inherit 100 mil tomorrow, for the first day you're going to be pumped. A few days later, you'll be stressed because which bank, which banker, which deal? Which property? What about this? What about if you're the disease of more? Next, when? It's now. It's always now. When we come back to now, and I say this all the time, you and me sitting here right now, you and me, two dogs, they're both asleep. Right now, in this moment, no problems.
Mm.
The problems are all up here. The minute that we leave this moment, psychological time, and we start thinking about – the next hour, the next day, tomorrow, the meeting, the this, the that, whatever. We're up in our head, monkey brain. Everyone's got monkey brain, and we have to learn how to detach from monkey brain, come back to now, and that's where happiness lives. And if you got Maslow's hierarchy covered, food and shelter, you're sweet as a nut.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And I don't want a wife down the track if I get married, heaven help whoever that is. But, mate, if they want the glitz and glamour, they come to the wrong bloke. Mm. It's just not happening. Mm. Mate, these days I pot around in tracksuit pants, socks with bloody Nike slides over them. There's just nothing flash. And if I go to a speaking gig, I'll put on a pair of jeans. And that's it. And it's beautiful. And people are losing heaps of weight. I'm contributing to society. Mm. It's a good little life, buddy. And, you know, it's nice to be able to share those stories. And I, you know, we're all at a different stage in our life. And if you've never come into a lot of money and all that, you know, I hope that makes you happy, but we need it to live. I get that, but just don't think that when you accumulate stuff, you're going to be happier, because you're just not.
I'm going to ask you one more question, and I always finish my podcast with this one, because we seem to not, no one has really nailed it yet, and I don't think there is one simple answer, but the Prime Minister of Australia, whoever that might be at this point in time,
yes.
don't know, could be different in an hour. Anyway, Prime Minister of Australia rings Jeff Jowett and says, Jeff, given everything you've done, we want you to head up a team to reverse, fix, stop the obesity trend in Australia. What's your blueprint? What's your five-point plan?
Beautiful.
What do you say to that? And I ask every person this question. How do we stop Australia from getting fatter day by day?
Couple of things. We would need to create weight loss communities. Connection kills addiction. Mm-hmm. So we have to start doing some form of mindset education. So we've basically got, hi Australia, 60% of you are obese, and here's why. We're medicating with food. So we're going to put out a new free government initiative to teach people how to stop medicating with food. Because we medicate with food, that's what we do. And we could even use the Facebook platform and put people in their local communities in private Facebook groups. Cost nothing.
Yep.
And they can share their stories and connect. And I run walk and talk groups all around Australia. You need to go to a walk and talk. Mm. You get your walk, you talk, you have coffee, you connect, you share your stories. Connection kills addiction. And we've got to get this thing called mindset elevated, the root cause of why people binge eat. That's the issue.
Yep.
It's not that we're eating too much chicken breast or our portion of rice is too much. We're medicating with food at 11 p.m. We're eating Tim Tams at night in private binge eating. No one's talking about it because people are denying it.
Yep. And how do we get to the kids? Because
through the parents. So you educate the parents, the kids will change.
If right.
Going into the schools, I don't agree with it, because then little Johnny's coming home and telling mum that she's doing it all wrong.
Yep.
So it's top down. It's got to be top down. How do you change the company from the CEO?
Yep.
How do you change the family unit, parents down?
Yep.
Got to be parents down, and they've got to be educated on mindset. They've got to know, hey, everybody is doing the same thing.
Yep.
Steve, he's drinking a bottle of whiskey a night. Sally's eating Krispy Kremes. Old mate's shooting heroin. Because we're in pain, because we're comparing ourselves to others. We all want love.
Mm.
We want to feel love and be love. We're alone. We're isolated. We don't think we're enough because we compare ourselves with someone down the street. We're all doing the same stuff. I just want to table this.
Yep.
And because I've led with vulnerability, people return the serve to me.
Yep.
So I know everyone's the same. When the bravado and the bullshit's gone, everyone is the same. And I want to elevate that fact so people go, I'm not alone. It's not only me, because it's not only you. We're all the same. And that, I think that can be my greatest work.
Fantastic. I'm going to say thank you very much for this. That's a great way to finish it. I appreciate your honesty and your ability to speak about all the great things that you've done and again going to continue to do, but also some of the failures, mistakes and learnings that you've had, because that's what makes you real. So thank you. This has been a pleasure, and may the Jowett Method transform Australia.
Thank you, Russell.
Thanks,
real,
Jeff.
Real privilege being on. Cheers.
Thanks. The Australian Fitness Podcast is all about some education, insight, inspiration, motivation, lessons and learnings from myself and the various fitness professionals that I interview on this podcast. To help me get the message across, I'll be tapping into the minds and careers of other successful fitness experts to see just how they go about their trade. I'd love for you, the listener, to connect with the Australian Fitness Podcast. So please like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at the Australian Fitness Podcast. If you have any comments or questions or would like to make contact, you can do so at info@australianfitnesspodcast.com.au. Finally, I am a working strength and conditioning coach. So if you want to reach out to me for professional services, programs, education and seminars, you can do so via email russell@russelljarrett.com.au. Thanks for listening.